Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Good morning. How are y'all today? Good, good. Keep an eye on Robbie there. Make sure he doesn't put any in his pocket. Never know. All right. Good to see you today. What a blessing. Thank you for the music. Love that song the choir sang today and just seeing the video. Boy, it stirs your heart about the need of sharing the gospel around the world and even to our neighbor, and just very thankful for that and thankful for how God prepares our heart for his word. It's interesting how God works things out. He's awesome. And so today, I just want to think a little bit about what we're going to be doing tonight and throughout the rest of the year. As Awana's is starting up, you know, there was a bestseller of a book. It was called Everything I Needed to Know in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten, you know. That'd be hard for me to say. I didn't go to kindergarten. But anyway, I was a brilliant child. I mean, what can I say? I mean, gosh. And now I'm not so brilliant. But anyway, but I'm good looking. Thank you very much. Maybe not, but anyway, read a neat little thing this week about not everything you need to know that you learn in kindergarten, but everything you need to know you learn in Sunday school, or you learn in Awana's, or you learn in youth group, you learn in church, but you learn at a young age, you know, and so the time that we have with our children is very important. You know, the stats, they say that, you know, the people who get saved about a young age, or more people, or if they don't get saved at a young age, may never come to Christ. Or most people who get saved come to Christ at a very young age, okay? Look that up on your Awana flyer back there. I can't remember the correct the stats on that, but it's true. And how many of here were saved before you were 12 years old? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, good. Awesome. Anybody here was saved after you were 21? Okay, a few hands. Anybody here saved after 30? Okay, awesome. All right, great. And so we know that God saves in all ages, but you know, it's a very important time in when we're ministering to kids. You know, I was telling the kids last week in youth group about sharing God's word and how, and we see throughout Scripture how we're to spread the seed of the word of God. You know, that's our job as witnesses. That's our job as ministers, is to share God's word, to share the seed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, Paul said, hey, he said, there are some that plant, some that plant that seed, and he said, there are some that water that seed. And he said, but in the end, it's who gives the increase? Who gives the increase? It's God. God gives the increase. And so let me encourage you as you seek to minister to children, even your own children. And just a reminder for me is that we need to be planting the seed of the Word of God in their hearts and lives. And because the things that they learn in Sunday school, the things that they learn in Awana's or youth group, or the things that they learn at your kitchen table or at your family devotion time, those are things that they're going to need in life, and really that will lead them and guide them and keep them through life. And so today I just want to look at a couple songs. And actually, we just sang one of them about if you learn this at a young age, it'll help you in life. The first one, though, is the song, My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do. You know what that means? It means just exactly what it says. How many of you like simple in here, all right? You got simple today, okay? I'm telling you, I'm simple-minded, okay? That's just who I am. But God is strong. God is mighty. He's all-powerful. You know, we use the terminology, he's omnipotent, okay? Which means all-powerful, okay? He's got all the power in the universe. He created the universe. Psalms 89:11 says, The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness, you have founded them. God created this world. Psalms 33, verses 6 through 9. I'm going to read a lot of scripture because I'm going to be jumping around. Won't give you time to turn to all of it, but you can write it down. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Just by his word, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's a powerful God. He spoke, and it was done. He's all-powerful God. Listen to what Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 says. Speaking of Christ, who was there, he's part of the creation. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. That means he holds all things together in our life, and he holds all things together in this universe, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God is all-powerful. He is so strong. He is so mighty. There's nothing he cannot do. The Bible says, with his fingers he hung the moon and the stars, Psalms chapter 8. Psalms 62:11 says, all power belongs to God. Psalms 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. He's got an abundance of strength. Great is the Lord. Psalms 121, verse 4, great passage. He said, Read it. It's good. But I got verse 4, Psalms 127. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He says in verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Man, he doesn't even get tired. He does. Psalms, Isaiah 40, verse 28, the everlasting God, the Lord, is creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor grows weary. He doesn't tire. He doesn't even take a nap, okay? Look, Robbie back there yawning right now. I mean, he's not even yawning. God's not yawning. Just kidding, Robbie. Robbie, is this your water? Can I have a sip? Nah, I'm just kidding. Hey, God doesn't even get tired. And as David's writing that in Psalms 121, man, they're on their journey, man, and they have to stop. And maybe they're afraid, and they're laying down, and they're going to sleep. And David says, he who keeps you neither sleeps nor slumbers. That's an almighty, all-powerful God. That's who God is. Man, the Bible says this, nothing is impossible with God. You know where that verse is found? That verse is found right there in the Gospels when it speaks to Mary, when Gabriel came to her and said, hey, you're going to bear a child. Oh, look at that. God is so powerful, he used David to bring me some water. Amen, that's good. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can do this. Got the poison out of it. That's good. That's awesome. Got to tell a story. One time I was, I don't know, it might have been one of my first times preaching or speaking or somewhere, and I had some water up there because you get all nervous and everything, and I went to drink that water. I thought I was going to spill it all over me. I was shaking. I said, maybe next time drink it down a little bit, then bring it to me, you know? Okay? All right. But anyway, thank you, brother. That's a blessing. That's how powerful God is. He'll bless you in the little things, big things. He's real. He's real. But he told, Gabriel told Mary, says, you're going to bear a child. She's young. I mean, there was no sexual relations. It was a miracle. She said, how will this be? And he says, nothing is impossible with God. He said that in the Old Testament too, when he told Abraham that Sarah at old age was going to bear a child. See, nothing is impossible with God. It's incredible all that God can do, how powerful God is in our life. And I would like for you to just take a moment to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 to look at the power of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Tell the teens, good way to remember. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company, right there. Go eat popcorn, okay? Something like that. Help you out. You don't need tabs, okay? You think about that stuff. All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Look at the power of God. Okay, this is an amazing verse, and I know that many of you already know this, but may it be a reminder to you, and may it be something that you want to share with your own kids and the kids that you minister to each and every week. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him, speaking of God, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Man, that's an awesome verse. That's an awesome verse because it says, maybe you've had it broken down for you like this before, but I love to break it down like this because it's awesome. It says, to him who is able, God is able. See, a lot of times when we think about how powerful God is, and I can sit up here and I can talk about omnipotence and I can talk about creation and I can talk about all of these incredible things, and I wish I could do it as good as some people and make it plain and simple, or, you know, and teach it as well as some, but, you know, I'm not able to do that. But sometimes you can get lost in all of that, in the vastness of it all, and think, oh, he's the head of the church and he's the creator and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes we get lost. But what you got to realize when you're talking about the awesome power, okay, the strength and the might and the power of God can be summed up in three words, and those three words is that He is able. He is able. And I don't know what your need is in your life, but I can tell you that God is able. And not only is that is He able, He's able to do. He's able to do. Not only is He able to do, He is able to do what we ask. He is able to do what we ask. Not only is He able to do what we ask, He is able to do what we ask or think. Or some versions say, imagine. I like that verb. I like that word. It says, imagine, to think about. He is able to do what we can even ask or think or imagine. That's what God is able to do. God is able to do not only what we ask, not only able to do what we can ask or imagine or think, but He is able to do all that we ask or think. I mean, is there something that you think that is just too hard for God or that God doesn't care about? But God says in here, Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do all. Check this out. Look that word up in your Greek dictionary. It means all. Man, that's big, right? Okay, it's all. God is able to do what we ask. He is able to do what we ask or think. He is able to do all that we ask or think. Not only that, He is able to do above all what we ask or think. Doesn't it blow your mind how awesome God is, His power, that He can do that He can do abundantly above all? But it gets even better, that God can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. My God is so strong. My God is so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do. You got any doubts about what God can do in your life? Man, just be reminded this morning that He's able. Just chew on it. You know, meditate on that verse, man. This week, meditate on that verse. God is able. God is able to save. You know, Hebrews 7:25, it says He's able to save to the uttermost, or to save forever. He is able to save completely. He is able. You remember the story in Mark chapter 10, I believe it is, where Jesus was talking with the rich man, and the rich man didn't want to surrender everything to God. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so the disciples said, hey, well, this is not possible. And what did Jesus say? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, God can save you. Maybe you're here and you think, God wouldn't save me. God wouldn't like me. Oh, man, I worked with a girl one time. She thought, man, church was for good people. God was for good people. She had had a rough life. I mean, she had been in prison. She had drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it. Man, she had lived that kind of life. And she said, God won't save me. And I'm going to tell you how powerful God is. I'm going to tell you how powerful God is. I got her to go to church with me one time. And it was amazing. And it was about God's forgiveness. I actually went to a David Jeremiah thing in Greensboro, and she went to that, man, and it was all about God's forgiveness and the sin of David and how God can forgive. And, man, that's how powerful God is. With God, all things are possible. God is able to save. Not only that, God is able to keep us saved. You know, a lot of times we think, man, am I saved? God is able to keep us saved. 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. God is able to keep you saved. He's able to keep that thing that you've committed, your life, your commitment, your word, your heart that you've committed to Him. He is able to keep that guarded and for Him until that day. John chapter 10 says, Jesus said this. He said He said, I hold you in my hand. He says, no man can snatch you out of my hand. That's how strong his hand is. That's how powerful he is. He says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. You know who that no one is? That means anyone, Satan included, even as Romans chapter 8 says, even as 1 John chapter 4 says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It includes you. Even you, even me, there's nothing that we can do that can take us out of God's hand. He is able. We're talking about the power of God. God is powerful. God is strong. He's mighty. And he, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't just say, oh man, you blew it again. Man, God says, I got the power to save you. I got the power to keep you saved. And I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for that. Because if it was up to me, I'd have done lost it. Okay? Matter of fact, I'm bad enough. I'm good enough at being bad to lose it every day. Okay? But the Bible says he's all-powerful, man. He's going to guard that. He's able to keep that which we've entrusted to him. And he is able to save you. He is able to keep you. He's able to meet your needs. He is able to meet your needs. That's, God is powerful enough to meet your needs. Speaking of which, I'm going to have some water. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Man, God is able. He's able to make that grace abound to you, that supernatural strength. We know that Philippians 4:19, you know, and we're thinking, a lot of times we think materialistic things, our financial needs, but, you know, he's more than that. He is saying, hey, whatever needs you have, he said, I'm going to make grace abound to you. And although we know in the context of this scripture in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it's talking about giving and the people there, he was commending them for giving and being faithful and honoring God with their money and putting God first. And so he says, hey, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency, nothing lacking in all things, you may have an abundance for every good work. So every need that we have, God is able to make and able to meet. And we know that Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Man, that's a powerful verse. According to his riches in glory, not out of his riches. He just doesn't, you know, reach in there and give a little bit. It's according to his riches in glory. He owns everything. He's rich. You know, you talk about people being rich. Well, what does he own or what does he do? God does everything and he owns everything. That's pretty rich, right? That's who God is. God is that powerful, okay? He is able to meet our needs. Man, I'm so thankful for this. And I'm just grateful for God's power. And I've seen this in my life and in mine and Lindsay's life. And I can't begin to just tell you. It's going on like 11 years working with, you know, Christian adventurers and trusting God by faith, saying, God, will you provide? And every time, man, God has always been faithful. He's always met our needs. And look, I can sit up here and talk about that, saying, hey, we're by faith. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a missionary, a pastor, or if you're working some other type of job. It's all by faith, right? And we're all trusting in God. And we all have to rely upon God. And so it's not just for preachers or missionaries to get up here and say, man, God is faithful and he's able to meet your needs. Everybody should be able to stand up and say, yes, this is how God has met my needs. And this is how God has provided for me. And not just financially, but this is how he's provided for my marriage. And this is how he's provided for my kids. And this is how he's helped me raise my kids. And this is how God's provided a wife for me, or God's provided a husband for me. Because God can meet your needs according to his riches. That's how powerful he is. He is able to do these things. And I've seen it. I even seen it this week as Lindsay and I have been praying and even at the club, we prayed for a bus and we, you know, God has given us a new shuttle bus. It's not brand new, but it's, you know, we're just thankful for that. And we're trusting God for another vehicle, but we're continually looking for, you know, God to provide for us. And just yesterday, I got a call. We were on a little youth activity, and a guy calls me up, and I hadn't heard from him in a while, but he had been on my heart to get with, just because he's a friend of mine. And when we got our bus out of Virginia, we drove through Greensboro coming back, and I really thought about stopping to seeing this guy, but we just couldn't do it with the kids and everything. And he calls me up, and just out of the blue, he says, "Hey, I hear you need a bus, need a van or something." I said, "Well, we just got one." I said, "Well, you know, we're going to be needing another one." He said, "Well, how's the money?" And I share with the money. And I don't really like to talk a lot about this because I don't want people to think that I'm just doing it for the money, and I don't want people to think that here comes Mark. I mean, let's go running because he's going to ask for money. I don't like to do that. And God's been so good to me, and you can tell, haven't missed any meals, okay? I mean, God provides, all right? And even new sizes, he provides, okay? But listen, he asked point blank, so I just told him. He's a friend. I said, "Hey, you know, we're hoping that we get paid next month. God's never let us down." I said, "Hey, God always provides." And he says, "Well," he said, "God has put you on my heart," and he says, "I want to send you some money." I said, "Oh, man," I was getting excited. I was pumped, you know. Now look, he may send $2. It doesn't matter. God used that to speak to me, to say, "Hey, I'm going to take care of you." You know, for the last, and I just share this, for the last several years, I've been involved over at BCA in addition to Christian Adventures, in addition to what I do here. And God used that to provide for us. And I know God had me there. I know it. I can tell you right when God spoke to me and said, "Mark, this is where you need to be." But for the last little bit, girls are getting older. You know, they need, you know, just different needs. God's moving along. And he begins to tell us that, "Hey, Mark, I think maybe your time's up there for now. Maybe you need to step aside from this." And so we begin to pray about it. We begin to trust and ask God and say, "Okay, God," because that's a hit, financially. And we just ask God to show us and direct us. And, man, he did. He spoke to us through his word. He spoke to us through circumstances. He spoke to us through messages. And he used someone in this church, a lady in this church, just sent us a card one day, a check of $50, and said, "I don't know why, but God's put you on my heart and wants me to give this to you." Man, it could have been $50,000, okay? I still got that. I got that right there in my desk. So, man, I can open it up. I can see it. Because, you know, that's a stone of remembrance for me. Because that's saying, man, God's saying, "I'm going to provide for you." He is able to meet all of our needs. I don't know how many times, just every time, I was going to say, I don't know how many times I've like, "God, why do you want me to share? Why do you want me to, you know, what do you want me to preach on? What do you want me to teach on Monday night or Sunday morning?" And God always provides. He's able to make all grace abound so that we'll have everything for every good work, an abundance for every good work. God provides. God's able to save you, keep you saved, able to meet your needs. He's able to keep you from falling. Listen to this verse, Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Man, God's got the power to keep you from falling. You don't have to fall into sin. You don't have to stumble. He's got the power. How many times have I heard a teenager say, man, on a mission trip or something, "I'm worried." And I've heard them say it. They get up there and they'll share about what God's doing in their heart, but then they're thinking about the next step, going back home. Seeing their family that's not supportive, that doesn't understand their decisions, that doesn't understand them wanting to be in church every day or every Sunday. And then there are those who, you know, have relationships and friendships and, you know, can they make it? I'm afraid that I can't make it. And man, we can share with them this verse, and maybe even those of you or maybe people that you know who are struggling and saying, "I just can't do this. I'm afraid I'm gonna fall." He is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before his presence. That's how powerful God is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as his divine power, his supernatural power, his omnipotent power, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Man, it's by his power that we live it out. You can't do it in your own strength. I mean, you make decisions for Christ and you think, man, I'm gonna charge hell with a water pistol and I'm gonna live for God, and you try to do it in your own strength. You can't do it. It's only by his power. You know, Philippians chapter 2 tells us this. He tells us to work out your salvation. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. You have to live it out. You just don't make a decision for God and then not do anything with it. You live that out. And then in the very next verse, he says, but it's God who works in you to do of his will and good pleasure. See, God is working in you, his power, his supernatural power, the Holy Spirit flowing through you. He gives you the power to work out your salvation, to live it out in your family, to live it out in your workplace, to live it out in your school. God gives you that power. God is able. He's able. He's all powerful. He's able to deliver, as we saw the three Hebrew children who were thrown in the fiery furnace. They said, our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able. He's able to heal. He's able to heal. And we see that in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 29. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. God is able to heal. Boy, Mike and I, Lunsford and I, we were talking yesterday about I can't imagine, even though his mom, you know, has passed away from cancer, my mom died of cancer, and, you know, it was close in our lives, but to have that, I can't imagine what that's like. And it just blows my mind how people can go through sickness and hard times like that and not know God and not have God. I mean, because what power do you turn to? I mean, who do you turn to? Man, it's great to know as a child of God, I mean, we can turn to an all-powerful God, you know, one who is very personal, who wants to meet our needs. And I can think even with my neck, as I had surgery last year, and I had a rough go of it after my surgery, and it took me a while to heal. But I started getting better. I did some therapy, and, you know, things were looking up, you know. But I had another checkup, and I'm going there thinking he's going to release me. And I take an X-ray, and he comes back. He said, we got some problems. He says, you've got another little bulge going on there. He said, you got another little disc there, and it might be causing the same problem. He said, if this doesn't, you know, we're going to have to keep an eye on this. He said, you may end up having another surgery. Oh, good night in the morning. Holy cow. I didn't want to have that. I left a little dejected thinking, I do not want to go through what I just went through again. And we began to pray, and let's just ask God to work. And a couple visits ago when I went back after X-rays, and he shows me on the X-ray, he says, you got any pain? I said, no, I'm doing pretty good. You know, even started playing a little ball, this, that, and the other. Go to the gym every, you know, two or three times a year or something, you know. I mean, gosh, things are great. You know. I mean, I'm a member at the Y. I just donate my money. I don't know. I just never go. But anyway, and he said, it looks like it's closing up. He said, a lot of times that thing closes up. He said, that's where you really get your pain, and you get pain, your nerve pain and everything. And he said, but you're not experiencing any pain. I said, no. He said, sometimes you just can't really, you know, make sense of the human body, you know, and that type of thing. And sometimes the body does that. But I want to tell you, a cold chill started coming up over me. I said, that's God. That was God. God can heal you. God can heal you. And so, man, he is able to do that. I had Lindsay, man, last year, not long after my neck surgery, after her pregnancy. I mean, she had a rough go up with her pregnancy and everything. She's had back problems. She was in a wreck, several years back, and she's had back problems ever since. Matter of fact, they told her she may not ever have kids, or told her or suggested to her that she shouldn't. Okay, we got two little girls. Can God heal? God can heal. He's got the power. He's able. But anyway, her back was hurting, and it was to the point. And she's in back pain just about all the time. But I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how well her back is now. And we thought, and we even prayed, that she may have to have surgery. I want to tell you, we are thanking God just about every day for her back and her health. That's amazing. You know why? Because God is able to heal. I don't understand why he doesn't always heal. And we know that for those who are children of God and that they go on to heaven, they get that ultimate healing, right? They get that. But I know this, he's able. He's got the power. He's able to heal. But it says this in Ephesians 3, verse 20. He says, he's able to do all these things. And at the very end, he says, according to the power that works in us. You see, it's according to the power that works. What is this power that must be working in us? Well, first of all, you got to know him, right? You know, he's got to be in you before he works through you. And so a lot of people like to claim this 3:20, and they like to claim, you know, prayer of Jabez, this, that, and the other, and all kinds of stuff in the verse and in the Bible, and they're not even a child of God. God wants them to be his child. He wants them to be able to claim these things, but he has to be in you. Let me just say, too, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, and he's searching to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is completely surrendered to him. You see, he's looking. God is looking. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to show his miraculous power in your life. And he's looking specifically for those whose heart is completely surrendered to him, whose hearts are completely committed to him. And he's going to show himself strong on your behalf. So it takes being committed, you know. It takes being committed, and it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but man, your focus, your goal, your desire, your aim is always Christ and to please him. He wants those who are committed. He wants those who have faith. Even in the story of Matthew chapter 9, he says, do you think I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. And he said, according to your faith, let it be. You know, it takes faith in God. You know, Hebrews 11, man, he says he is a rewarder. And it's all about faith in there. And he says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so to seek after him, you're saying, I got faith in you, God. I believe you can do this. That's, you know, that's part of what prayer is all about, is believing in God. We look to him because we trust in him. We put our faith in him. We're believing in him that God is able. It's Matthew 21:21 where he says, you know, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it shall be done. He said, if you believe and not doubt, believe and not doubt. Man, I remember on our missions trips back in, I remember 2005, that was our believe and not doubt year. Because we talked about that verse all year. We were in Lubbock, Texas. Lady comes up to us, says, we talked about that verse. We were talking about the gospel. We were sharing it all. She says, my nephew has cancer. I forget exactly what kind. But, and they talked like it was, that even the child didn't have long to live. She said, would you pray for us? And so we all gathered around that lady and we prayed and we were claiming that verse. And, you know, I know we don't like to say that word, you know, in churches, Bible churches. And, you know, we hear it so much on TV, claim it, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we were claiming it. We said, God, we believe and not doubt, and you can heal this guy. By the end, it might have been the next day, it might have been Friday, 2 days after, I can't remember. The kid had went to the doctor. There was no cancer. God able? He's powerful. Man, I'd like to try to explain that away somehow. Did she have it wrong? Did he really just have a cold? Did I hear wrong or something? You know? No, he had cancer. God is able to heal. Man. He's able. My God is strong. My God is mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do. Let me give you one other thing that'll help you. and believing and trusting that how God is able is to wait on the Lord. You know, you want to be committed, you want to have faith, but to wait on Him. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Talking about His power. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The four-letter word that we don't like to use is to wait. It's to wait on God. Not to sit and do nothing, but it means not to rely on human schemes, not to try to manipulate things in our own strength or to do it our way instead of God's way, but to instead of creating some type of power, but relying on an all-powerful God. That's what it means to wait on God. I read of a story of a dad and a son who was walking, and they came to this, this big rock in the road. And his dad told his son, he said, "Son, why don't you move that rock?" And so the son, being real eager to try to prove his strength, he gets down there and he tries to move it, and he grunts, "Oh, you know," and he's trying real hard. And he said, "Man, Dad, I can't move it." He said, "Yeah, you can, son." He said, "Just go ahead and try to move that rock." And so he tries one more time, and he's moving it with all his might, and he's trying to move it, and he's barely budging it. And so he says, "Dad," he said, "I can't do it." And his dad says, he says, "Yes, you can." He said, you know, and it kind of went on for several minutes. And so he told him one more time. He said, "Just try it one more time." And he tried, and he said, "Dad, I just don't have the strength to do it." And his dad, you know, walked over to him. He put his arm around him, and he said, "Son," he says, "You've got the strength." He said, "You just don't understand." He said, "You didn't use all your strength because you didn't ask me to move the rock." And so a lot of times we try to do things in our own strength when God is saying, "Man, you got so much more strength. You got all strength, all power." Man, and so we rush through the day. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't spend time at His feet, and we try to do it in our own strength. And God is sitting there saying, "Just ask me. I'm able. I'm all powerful. There's nothing that I cannot do." How about this truth from Sunday school? "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Man, running out of time. And I know that I talked about this a couple weeks ago, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But the fact of the matter is, we could spend forever talking about it and still not. Matter of fact, the songwriter says it this way. I'll just sum it up like this with the songwriter. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin." I just go on to verse 3. All of it's good, but let's read verse 2. "When whoring time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song." "Could we with ink the ocean fill?" I love this verse. This is incredible. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry." Man, that's deep. I'm telling you, that's awesome. "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song." Man, just think about next time you go to the ocean and think if the ocean was full of ink and his sky was a parchment, and you could just take a pen and you could get some ink on that pen and you could begin to write about the love of God, it would drain the ocean. It would drain the ocean. And then you wouldn't even have room to write it all across the sky. That's how vast and how awesome the love of God is. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, where he talks about the depth and the width and the height and just having Christ and being rooted in love and being able to comprehend. It said it passes knowledge. It passes our understanding. That's how awesome the love of God is. And I love the song because it says that Jesus loves me. He loves me. You know what? I know y'all gonna find this hard to believe, but there's people who don't love me. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, how could that be? But every now and then, there's be somebody that just doesn't love me. Man, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you learn that at a young age. You learn something that'll help you through life. You won't live for people's approval. You won't live for popularity. Man, you'll be secure in Christ and the love of the Father. Doesn't matter if your home has been a mess, your parents have been divorced, or there's turmoil in your home. You know that Jesus loves you. Man, we're always telling our girls, Jesus loves you. Jesus, we'll tell them, hey, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. I love you. God loves you more. God loves you more. Nobody's going to love you like God's going to love you. God loves you. And I pray for Savannah and Rebecca. I say, God, help them to walk in purity. Help them to walk in security. Being secure in who they are in Christ. Secure that God loves them. And they don't have to live for the approval of a man. Or they don't have to live for approval of friends. But hey, that they could be secure in Christ. Jesus loves me. Man, I'm asking God to get that in my brain and in my mind, because I'm all about performance. Am I doing it right? It's all about performance for me. For many, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Here's another one. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Man. Those are two key ones there. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves everybody. Doesn't matter what color their skin is. Doesn't matter what part of the neighborhood they come from. Doesn't matter what class of life they're from or they're supposed to be in. Jesus loves the world. Jesus loves people that are different from me. You know, we got to get that through our heads. We got to get that in our hearts. For many of us, we got it here because we know that song. We don't have it in our hearts. You know why? Because if people are different than us, we don't reach out to them. Sometimes there are some people in churches, maybe not this one, maybe, I don't know, but sometimes there are people in churches who say, too different. Nope. I mean, because we actually had that at club. I mean, I hadn't experienced since I've been there, but Terry's told me many times where he's taking kids from club to church, and I said, we don't want all them coming in here. Jesus loves all the children of the world. They're all precious in his sight. Man, the video showed that, right? Man, if that doesn't stir your heart to mean that Jesus loves the world to do something, I mean, there's something wrong with our hearts. He loves everyone. A great way to teach your children that is to bring them out to the missions conference this week. Come out and to hear about what God is doing in other countries and around the neighborhood and in this community and let them know that Jesus loves the little children of the world. How about this song? The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. I'm going to sing it right here. I'm going to get my microphone over here. The Bible. Man, what a foundation. That's the book for me. Man, Savannah woke up this morning. I'm out there at my desk and you know, she's coming out there and she's wanting to, you know, talk and this, that, and the other. And she's looking at all my books and stuff. And you know, you just hate to tell a kid every time, don't touch that. No, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Yeah. But I was doing that, you know. I said, oh, gosh, don't lose my spot, you know. And then she says, where's my Bible? You know, she wanted a Bible. No, Savannah, you can't have a Bible, you know. I didn't tell her that, you know. No, man, I got up out of my seat and I reached over in the bookcase there. I gave her a Bible. I want her to love the Bible. I want her to be excited about the Bible, you know. I mean, even at home sometimes she says, I'm going to preach. She's going to preach, you know. I said, well, now, I don't know about all that, you know. Hey, only if it's to your sister because she's younger and she's a girl. Okay. That was a good one. It came to me. I tell you, God's powerful. He's powerful. Anyway, no, but man, I want her to be excited about that because, listen, your word, my word, Bruce's word, elder word, deacon word, Billy Graham's word, it all passes away, but not the word of God. It lasts forever. It lasts forever. So as I sit across the lunch table this past week talking with a guy, and he said, man, I'm struggling with this, that, and the other, and God in his power and his divine power begins to give me verses to share with this guy. And I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. Man, that's good. It was like, oh, man, I'm in the zone, man. It's rolling, you know. And I said, man, this is good. And I was flipping the stuff on my phone, showing him stuff, you know. And then I said, listen, I said, this is all I got. And this is all you've got. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. I mean, this is all we've got right here. And I mean, I wish I was smart enough and brilliant enough and clever enough to think of great things to say and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not. I mean, you know, God helps me to read good things. He helps me to listen to smart people, you know. Association is key. Write that down, association. And so, you know, hey. And so, man, I just told him, I said, man, this is it. Man, this is the Bible. And so a friend of mine asked me a couple years ago, he says, and he'd been through a lot in his life, and we got saved on the same day, got baptized on the same day, rededicated our life 57 times on the same day. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe 51. No. All right, but anyway. But there was a time in my life, and I can tell you when it was. I don't remember the date, but I can remember summer of 1982. We went to church camp. You know, we got there late because we got lost. Chapel was already going on. Let's don't go in. We don't want to disrupt the crowd. You know, we don't mess everything up. We didn't want to go to chapel, you know, because we weren't living for God. We were running from God. We were just there to have fun, check out little chicky babes, all that good stuff, you know. And because Mama made us go, right? And so anyway, we go to there, man, and God's convicting me. He's dealing with my heart and my life. And so I said, man, I'm going to wait 10 in a week. Pastor's coming to preach, I'll just get right then. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him, and the Spirit was drawing me. And I remember, I think it was Wednesday morning, he in chapel service, I couldn't stand it no longer. White flag time, baby, white flag. I surrender, and I go forward, man. I'm summer 1982. That was my moment, man. I said, no turning back. Well, that week he did his little thing too, but later, few weeks after that, month or so, whatever, we're on a paper route over here on Dick Street, Gibsonville, slinging papers. Memory man, that's what my wife calls me, memory man. And he lets some four-letter word fly, and he starts, you know, doing stuff. I said, man, I ain't talking like that no more. I said, I ain't going there anymore, and I ain't been back. But he kept doing this thing. Doing a little flip-flop, you know, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, and went through a lot, can't even begin to tell you. But God's still working in his heart. God is able to keep him, okay? So fast forward 20, 30 years later, you know, God's still working in his heart, getting him back in church, working in his life, doing all these things. And, man, it's exciting to see. You know who's able to do that? All-powerful, almighty God. And so he comes to me and he says, man, he says, I've just been wanting to talk to you. He said, you know how it's been in my life. And he went through his life a little bit. And he said, uh, he said, well, he said, but you, he said, you've always, you mean, you've stuck with it. You stayed here. As, you know, he acted like it was some miracle or amazing, but there are people that do that, you know. And so then he says, what's the secret? What's the secret? And I wish I could say something brilliant, but this is really all I had. And I can just say it's about the Bible. It's about the Word of God. It's the book for me. And that it's more than just, you have to go ahead and with it, I stand alone on the Word of God. So sometimes you have to stand alone. And sometimes it's not popular. Even in your family, even in your church, on your job, you have to stand alone on the Word. And the things that you know are true, thus saith the Lord, not this is what I think. Man, you got to stand alone on that and stay true to it, to what God is showing you in His Word and what thus saith the Lord says. This is a book for me. Man, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Pastor Bruce says all the time, this is a treasure chest. It's a treasure chest. Man, he says in Psalms 19, he says, it's to be desired more than gold, sweeter than the honeycomb, you know? Man, how many loves going by jelly donuts, getting those apple fritters? I don't know about honeycomb. Them apple fritters are good. I'll tell you that right now. This is to be desired above that. It's to be desired above the gold, okay? You know what you got to do for gold? You got to dig for it. You got to search for it. And when you search and you spend time digging in it, you know, man, Hector, thank you for taking my middle school class today, because Lindsay's like, hey, how's it going? She said, it's not going good. I said, it's going great. I said, I ain't got time to write everything down God's given me. You know, I said, call Hector and see if he'll just take my class, you know. And you know why? Because it's a lot in here. It's a treasure chest. It really is. And man, if someone just takes the time to read it, and I know sometimes, you know, we say, well, we can't understand it, and there's enough in here we can understand that'll occupy our thoughts and our hearts forever if we just spend enough time in it. Read it. And then I threw this last one in. O-B-E. Come on, join me. I-E-N-C-E. That's about all I remember. But I found, you know, that obedience is the key. Was it Ruth? It is the very best way to show that you believe. Obedience. I thought, I ain't going to throw that in. I said, if you say the Bible is the book for you, then you're going to obey it. But I thought God spoke to me, and he brought to remembrance something I read this week about a guy was writing about revival. And he says, you know, we pray for revival. He said, there's books on revival. Everywhere you look, there's songs about revival. You know, there's everything. There's all kind of revival. You know, we're praying. And he asked the question, he said, are we seeing revival? And he talked about when Saul was to kill the Amalekites and everything, the inhabitants of the land. And he said, you know, I'll bring back this sacrifice to God. And God told him, he said, Saul, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And he said, we have a lot of people praying for revival, but we not have a lot of people obeying. And you can't have revival unless you're obedient. And I thought it was interesting. I could probably sing you all those other songs, but I can't sing you the whole song of obedience. And oftentimes, that's the part lacking in our life. We forget that part too. You know, we think, God's powerful, but we don't obey. God, I know you can help me witness to that person. God, I know you can help me, you know, share Jesus, invite people to church, but I ain't going to do it. We like the obedience. God, I know that you'll meet my needs, but we don't give. And so we lack that obedience. That's the thing that's missing in our life. And James says, we hear the word, but we don't do the word, and therefore we deceive ourselves, and we're deceived. Man, let's don't leave that out in our life, to be obedient in every area, and to say, God, just help me, show me, Lord, by your divine power, help me to live out your truth. Help me to walk in your love. Help me to share your love with all the children of the world. Man, the things that you can learn as a child, everything you need to know in life, you can learn as a child. It can help you. So let me encourage you to apply these truths to your life today, but also as you teach your children. Man, instill them in their hearts at home and here on Sunday nights and Sunday morning, and as you bring your children here, man, may that be your life and our testimony. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these simple truths, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us, so kind to speak. And Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Lord, my parents, you know, they divorced when I was young, and it was hard at times, but Lord, you saw fit by your grace and your mercy, Lord. Even during that time, I was in church, and I heard these truths. And then when I was 10, I got saved. Thank you, God, for saving me. And thank you, Lord, that I could learn those songs. I can still remember singing those songs in church and laughing. But Lord, thank you, God, that you put them in my mind and my heart. More importantly, Lord, those songs are based on your word. And God, thank you for putting your word in my heart. And God, I pray that you would help me, help Lindsay, to live these truths out in front of Savannah and Rebecca. God, as you spoke to me this week, may there not be a gap in who she sees here and who she sees at home. And Lord, help us all as we seek to minister to the kids in Awana's and Sunday school and just in our body, in our family, that God, we would instill these truths in their hearts, Lord, in their hearts and their minds, God, and that may it change and affect our life for eternity, Lord. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.